to the believers at Ephesus about their walk. And we discovered in verse number 1 that he was writing to them about walking in love. If they're going to follow after the Lord, they're going to follow him as dear children, verse number 1. Then verse number 2, they've got to walk in love. You can't follow after the God who is love unless you walk in love. And then he tells them in verse number 8 that they're also going to have to walk in the light. And that is, God not only is love, but the Bible tells us that God is light. You can't walk with God unless you're going to walk in the light or walk as children of light. The Bible tells us when you get down to verse number 15 that if you're going to walk with God, you've got to walk circumspectly, or you've got to walk upright. That is, you've got to walk the right, a right kind of walk. You can't walk with the God who is holy and not walk circumspectly. That is, walk upright. And those who are going to walk circumspectly or upright, the Bible tells us, are those who are walking not as fools, but as wise. Walking circumspectly means living a life that is not a foolish life, but is a life characterized by wisdom. That the God who is all wise wants you not only to walk in love and not only walk in his light, but he wants you to walk in his wisdom. And then when you get to verse 17, the Bible says and warns us not to be unwise. Don't be unwise. Well, how am I going to be unwise? How is it that I can be not unwise? Or how can I walk in wisdom? And then there's that little phrase we've been working on, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And that is, those who are walking in wisdom are those who understand what the will of God is. That is, they walk in the very center of his will for their life. Those who are unwise are those who do not understand what the will of the Lord is. If you're going to walk in wisdom, you've got to know the will of God so that you can know and do the will of God and fulfill the purpose of God for your life. And so we've been trying to discover, how can I understand what the will of the Lord is? I've said to you in previous messages that if we're going to understand what the will of the Lord is, then we have to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the one who is revealing to us the Word of God and the will of God, and you and I need to learn how to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and to know what he's saying and know what he's revealing. And we have to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. We've got to learn how to walk in the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit. But also we discovered, secondly, that we need to pay attention to the direction of God. That is, God is working in your circumstances. All around you, God is constantly at work trying to direct you, providentially working in your life and through your circumstances. And we've got to be aware of how God is directing us, the doors that he's shutting and the doors that he's opening and the way that he's operating. Just be aware of the direction of God. And then we discovered, thirdly, that we've got to be a student of the Word of God. And that is, if you want to know what the will of God is, you got to get into this book. It is in the Word of God that the Spirit of God has revealed to us what is the will of God. Right here in this book, the Bible. That is, the Bible that you have in your lap, the Bible that you have on your app, the Bible that you have on your shelves at home and in your car as you drive. The Bible, the Word of God, is the means by which God reveals to us what His will is. And so you and I have been trying to look at the Bible and find out and what the will of God is, so we can understand what the will of the Lord is, so that we can be wise. Not unwise, but be walking in wisdom. And so we can become everything God wants us to be. Here's what we discovered last Sunday morning. The will of God is for you to be saved. And that is, the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The will of God is for sinners to be saved. God doesn't want anybody to perish, but God wants everyone to come to repentance. That is, to turn from their lost, sinful condition and turn to Christ and to receive Him as Lord and what He did on the cross for us. And I spent a little bit of time last Sunday talking about that aspect of the will of God. Number one, the number one will of God is for you to be saved. God wants you to be. Think about how much God has done for you to be saved. He sent His Son to die for you on the cross. He sent His Spirit to draw you to Himself. God, His will is for you to be saved. And I'm so glad it is. But we discovered last Sunday night, we began looking at this another aspect of the will of God revealed in the Word of God. It's found in Romans chapter number 12. We discovered that the will of God is not only for us to be saved, but we discovered, secondly, the will of God is for us to be surrendered. And that is, that after that a person has been saved, the will of God for our life now is for you and I to live a life of surrender to Him. abandoning and surrendering everything to Him. We see that example in the lives of the apostles, do we not? Where Jesus said, follow me, and they abandoned everything, surrendered everything to follow after our Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not an exception, that's the pattern. That's the pattern. Jesus said, if a man's not willing to forsake all and follow me, he cannot be my disciples. It's the idea of complete surrender. That's what Paul is writing about in Romans chapter number 12, where he writes about surrendering our body. He says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And last Sunday night, we began looking at that verse and discovering that one of the areas that God wants us to be completely surrendered in is with our body. Surrendering our body to Him. Presenting our body to Him as a living sacrifice. And doing it, ladies and gentlemen, preparing our body like you would prepare a sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And the reason or the purpose is because, ladies and gentlemen, it's our reasonable service. It's the only right way to respond to the God who's had mercy on us, redeemed us from our sins, snatched us out from the fiery judgment of hell, and accepted us, you and I who were His enemies, accepted us on the basis of mercy as His own children. The only right thing to do is for us to lay ourselves on the altar and say, God, here I am. Here's my body. And here's everything that's connected to my body. That is, our body is that material aspect of our being. And everything material that's connected to the body, I lay it on the altar and I surrender all of this to you. Surrendering our body. We also discovered this past Wednesday night that God's will is for us not only to surrender our body, but also to surrender our mind. To surrender our mind, that is the inner man. We move from the outer material man and we move now to the inner self, and that is to the mind. And the Bible teaches us here that God wants you and I to be transformed by the renewing of the mind so that you may prove, that is so that you might know by experience what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How am I going to know the will of God? How am I going to experience the will of God for my life? I've got to lay my body as a living sacrifice to God on the altar. And then, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to surrender my mind to this transforming, renewing work that He's writing about here in Romans chapter number 12. God wants to transform your life. That is, He wants to change you. The idea of transformation is the idea of being changed from the inside out. That God did a great work in you whenever He saved you. God gave you a brand new life, a brand new heart, made you a brand new creature. But God wants to work that out in your life now. From the inside out, God wants to transform you, every part of your life. And He does it, the Bible says here, by the renewing of the mind. The renewing of the mind is the idea that God wants to make your mind new over and over again. God constantly making your mind new. Now, when I'm talking about making your mind new, I'm talking about what you believe. God transforming your entire belief system. I'm talking about what it is that you think. I'm talking about the attitudes that you have, the thought patterns that you've developed and the attitudes that you have and the beliefs that you've developed. God wants to take over your mind and, listen, renew or make new every part of your mind so that your beliefs line up with what God has revealed instead of what the world has taught, and so that your values line up with Him. And God wants to renew your mind. Putting your mind, say, you know what, my mind is no longer mine to fill with whatever I want to and believe whatever I want to believe. That is the philosophy of the world, is that you can just believe whatever you want to. But the philosophy of the believer is, my mind belongs to Him. I surrender my mind to Him to believe what He has said and He has revealed and not what I want to believe. The surrendering of the mind. Laying it on the altar. I'd like to preach on that for a little while, but I'm going to move on to a third aspect of our complete surrender. And that is that God not only wants us to surrender our body, and He not only wants us to surrender our mind, but I tell you that God wants for us to surrender our will to Him. Surrendering our will to Him. Now, when I'm talking about our will, I'm talking about what we want. I said to you in the previous services that the will of God is what God wants. What God purposes and what God wants to surrender to His will is to surrender to what He wants. In the same way, our will is that area in which we choose what we want. This is what I want. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about complete surrender. I'm talking about getting that surrender to God. Your will. That is the decision about what you're going to do based on what it is that you want. That is what it is that you want for your life. That is what it is that you want to do. Getting your will surrendered means that I surrender what I want to do. I get that surrendered to God. And where I want to go is going to be surrendered to God. And what it is that I want to buy and who it is that I want to be with, all of those things that I want, I got to get on the altar and get it surrendered to God. Now listen to me. Now I'm going to say to you, make a statement to you. And that is, you say, well, Pastor, there are some things that I want. But I'm going to say to you that if what you want doesn't line up with what God wants, then you've got a decision to make. And that is who's going to be in control of your life. And if you're going to be surrendered, the will of God is for you to be surrendered, then you've got to get your want surrendered to His. Otherwise, you're not going to be in the center of His will. You're operating according. Listen, if your life operates around your wants, then you're not surrendered. And you're not going to know the will of God. As a matter of fact, you're going to miss the will of God because you're doing what you want. And listen to me, I'll guarantee you that much of what you want probably may not line up with what God wants. Especially if you're walking after the flesh and not after the Spirit. And so we got to get this want, our will, surrendered to God. Abandoned to Him. So instead of following after what I want, I'm following after what He wants. You say, Pastor, I don't know how to do that. I don't understand how to do that. So I'm going to give you some direction here from the Bible. Looking at the Bible and asking ourselves how to surrender our will to God. How do I surrender my will to God? There are several areas that we have to deal with in our life if we're going to get our will surrendered to Him. Number one, we've got to deal with our praying. We've got to deal with our praying. You'll never get your will, your wants, surrendered to God unless you do so in the context of prayer. That is, your prayer life is the place where you get surrendered to the will of God. You say, Pastor, are you sure? I know it's true. And the reason why is because that's what our Lord taught us. Remember when our Lord taught His disciples how to pray? Yeah, they came to Him one day and they were wanting to know how to pray. That is, they had observed our Lord's prayer life and they wanted to know how to pray. And our Lord began to reveal it to them. As a matter of fact, He revealed it to them on more than one occasion. He revealed it to them in the Sermon on the Mount in one place, that is in Matthew chapter number 6. He said, here's how you're supposed to pray. Here's what's supposed to happen when you pray. And the Lord began to teach them. As a matter of fact, He gave them a model prayer. An example of how to pray. Now, the model prayer that Jesus gave us is not a prayer that's just to be mindlessly repeated. In other words, just to memorize it or just to repeat it mindlessly, ladies and gentlemen, is not what the Lord had in mind. As a matter of fact, He warned against that. He warned in the previous verses against just vain repetition in prayer, just mindlessly repeating words in prayer. That's not what He's telling us to do when He tells us how to pray in Matthew chapter number 6. Instead, He is setting forth before us what ought to be happening when we get alone with God and begin to spend time alone with Him, experiencing Him in prayer. And so here's what He said ought to be happening. That is, He tells us in verse number 9, after this manner, that is, therefore, pray you. Here's a manner in which you ought to pray. He said, here's how you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That is, the focus there is on God, isn't it? And that is, when you get alone with God, you ought to just connect with Him a little bit and pray to Him and think about who He is. Think about our relationship to Him, that He is our Father. That is, we ought to think about where God is, that He is the God who is in heaven, the one who is transcendent above all and over all. And we ought to think about how holy He is. That is, holy or hallowed be thy name. That is, thinking about the heaven where He's at and the holiness of His name and just thinking about who God is. And then after that, you can just begin thinking, praying this, and that is, thy kingdom come. And then He said, pray this, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When you get alone with God to pray, one of the things that you can pray about is you can just reflect on who God is and praising for who He is. And then another thing you can do is you can get your will surrendered to His will. You can pray, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Now, do you know how the will of God is done in heaven? It's done perfectly. In heaven, the will of God, ladies and gentlemen, is perfectly done. And Jesus is telling us when we get to pray, and we ought to pray, God, I wish your will. I want your will to be done here on this earth as it is in heaven. I want your will to be perfectly done here on this earth. Now listen, if the will of God is going to be done on this earth as it is in heaven, it might just want to start with us. And that is, we might just be able to pray, Lord, I want your will for my life. I want your perfect will for my life. I want you to fulfill your perfect plan for my life. Lord, I submit myself to your will. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. That's what ought to be happening in your prayer life. That is when you get alone with God. You see, sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I get alone with God, it's nothing more than you and I reciting our will. God, this is what I want. This is what I want. This is what I want. God, this is what we want. And that is, we tell God all about our will. That it is what it is that we want. God, I sure would like to be able to buy that. Lord, I sure wish you would do this in this person's life. I sure wish that you would help this person. I sure wish you would help me in this area of my life. And we get to tell him, God, what it is that we want. But listen to me now. Our prayer life needs to be a time of getting surrendered to his will. That is a time of laying our wants on the altar. That is laying it before him. And saying, Lord, I want your will be done on the earth that is in my life. I want to be done just like it is in heaven. Just like the will of God is done perfectly in heaven. I want that for my life. It's a time for you and I to get surrendered to the will of God. Now listen, you need that time in your prayer life. Instead of just telling God what you want, you also need to get surrendered to his will. Whatever it might be, you may not even know for sure what his will is. But go ahead and surrender anyway, because you know it's going to be good. God's will is always the best. It's always right. God never does anything wrong, or he's not God. And so when you and I say, God, I'm not really sure what your will is in all of this. I don't know for sure, but God, I want your will to be done. Whatever your will is for my life, that's what I want to do. God, would you help me to know? And would you help me, Spirit of God, to know for sure what direction to go and what decision to make and how to respond and what to do? Lord, I don't know what to do, and I know what I want to do, but that may not be what you want me to do. So God, I surrender to your will so that I can know what you want me to do and not what I want to do. Y'all following along a little bit? I'm just saying your prayer life ought to take that turn so that you get surrendered to the will of God. There's a connection between our praying, ladies and gentlemen, and getting our will surrendered to his will. Now, Paul not only prayed about this in his own life, but he also prayed about the will of God in the lives of others. That the will of God would be done when Paul got alone with God and he began to pray for others, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that he often prayed is that they would know the will of God. They would know God's will. For example, in Colossians, in chapter number 1, he was praying for the believers at Colossae, and here's what he prayed. He said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, that is, since the day he heard about the conversion of these believers in Colossae, he says, I do not cease to pray for you. He said, ever since I heard about you getting saved, I've been praying for you. And he said, here's what I've desired for you in prayer. He says, I've been praying for you. I've been praying out of a desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In other words, the apostle is saying, listen, I've been praying for you, and as I've been praying for you, here's what I've been praying for, and that is that God will fill you with the knowledge of his will. That is, that your life would be full of an awareness, of a knowledge, an awareness of what the will of God is. That's what he prayed for them for. And he said that can happen, that is, through wisdom and spiritual understanding. That is, wisdom is spiritual insight. That is, God can give you insight into what his will is so that you can be dominated by the will of God. To be filled with the will of God, ladies and gentlemen, is to be dominated by the will of God. That is the dominating factor in your life. That it controls you. Whatever you're filled with is what controls you. When we talk about somebody being filled with rage, what we're saying is that rage is dominating their life. To be filled with the knowledge of his will means, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I are dominated by the will of God and controlled by the will of God. And Paul said, that's what I'm praying for you. That you'll have that kind of wisdom, spiritual insight to know and be dominated by God's will. I'm trying to get you to see, ladies and gentlemen, there's a connection now between knowing the will of God, following the will of God, getting our will surrendered to His will, and our prayer life. Paul was praying. Jesus said, pray, thy will be done. Paul was praying that the will of God not only be done in his life, but also in the lives of the believers at Colossae. That's the place to get surrendered to the will of God. Right there in your prayer life. You know, Paul could have been praying whatever he wanted to for those believers. Paul could have been praying, Lord, this is what I would like for these believers at Colossae. This is what I'd like to see done. This is what, Lord, I would like for you to do for them. That's about the way our prayer life is sometimes when we're praying for others. And that is, we already have in mind what we think God ought to do. We already have in mind what we think ought to happen. And we start praying according to what we see ought to happen. But you know what our problem is? We just don't see everything, do we? And you know what? You know another problem? We don't know everything. And that is that we are limited in our insight and in our knowledge. But I tell you that God knows. And so Paul is praying for them, and he's praying that they will know the will of God. They'll know what God wants. That God will open their minds and hearts to the will of God so that they can follow after Him. That's what we ought to be praying as well. Getting surrendered to the will of God. In our prayer life. John was writing about praying in the book of 1 John. And he told us about knowing the will of God in prayer. In 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 14, he writes these words. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. That is, John is writing about answered prayer. And he said, here's how you can have assurance to know that your prayer has been answered. And that is, if you get to praying, he said, and you get to praying according to His will. Yeah, John said if you pray according to the will of God, then you go ahead and mark it down. God is going to hear and God is going to answer. If you pray according to His will. And so what that tells me is this. When I get alone with God to pray, I need to find out what His will is so I know how to pray. And that's the time, ladies and gentlemen, for me to be seeking His will. To know the mind of God and the will of God. That's the time for me to get surrendered before Him so that the Holy Ghost of God can give me some insight as to how to pray. So I can pray according to His will. That is, if you and I are praying and it's not according to the will of God, that is, it didn't line up with what God wants, you might as well know you're wasting your time. If you want God to hear and answer your prayer and have assurance that God is hearing and answering your prayers, then you got to get to praying according to what God wants. And so I got to find that out. And so when I'm alone with God in prayer, I got to get my will surrendered to His will so I can start praying according to His will and not according to my will. What I'm trying to get you to see is if you and I are going to get our will surrendered to God's will, then we got to deal with our praying. How am I going to know? I mean, how does God reveal to us His will whenever we're praying? Paul wrote something about that in Romans chapter number 8. Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans chapter number 8. That great chapter dealing with the life of the Spirit, he wrote these words in verse number 26. He said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The word infirmity there means a weakness, a problem. That is, we have weaknesses and problems in our life, and the Spirit of God helps us. And there's one particular problem that he has in mind. In verse number 26, he says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. One of the problems we have is that we just don't know really what we ought to be praying for. If we're going to have to pray according to the will of God, then we have a struggle because we don't know what to be praying. We don't know what it is that God wants, what we ought to be praying for. But the Bible says that the Spirit of God will help us with this infirmity or this problem. Because He says in verse number 26 that the Spirit itself maketh intercession with us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. In other words, the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, ladies and gentlemen, helps us to be able to pray. And verse number 27 says this, and He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. So if I'm going to pray according to the will of God, I need help. And I've got somebody living on the inside of me that can help me. That can help me pray. It's the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us here that the Holy Spirit helps us intercede. He helps us to pray. And ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit helps us to be able to pray according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit knows the will of God because He is God. And He knows the will of the Father and the Son. That is because they are one. The one who is God lives on the inside of you, and He can help you to be able to pray according to the will of God. Now, there's some who've taken this passage of Scripture and tried to say that there's some kind of a language that you can pray in that only the God knows. But I'm going to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that is not what this is teaching. As a matter of fact, it teaches the opposite. The Bible says this is something that cannot be uttered. These are groanings that cannot be uttered. You say, what does it mean? It means God, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, is alive in you, and He's able, ladies and gentlemen, to burden you on the inside according to the will of God and help you to be able to pray according to the will of God. The Spirit of God living in you is able to give you a prayer burden so that you can pray according to the will of God. He sure can. He'll help you to pray. You say, I want to get my will surrendered. Then you've got to deal with your prayer life. Deal with your prayer life. So that it becomes, ladies and gentlemen, not just a wish list of what you want, but a time of getting abandoned to the will of God. We have so many examples of this, but our greatest example is the example of our Lord Himself. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, in Matthew chapter number 26, our Lord, ladies and gentlemen, is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember when He took the apostles with Him? Peter, James, and John farther into the garden, left the other at the entrance of the garden. Well, it's the night that He's going to be arrested. And the Bible says that He said to them, that is Peter, James, and John, He said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry or wait here and watch or stay awake with me. In other words, He said, listen, my soul is burdened. I'm under such pressure and such stress that I don't know how much my body can stand. So stay awake right here and pray with me. And He went a little bit farther into the garden and He fell on His face, the Bible says, and He began to pray. And here's what He prayed. You remember this well, don't you? That is, we know that He prayed a lot more than this because He prayed for more than an hour according to the Scripture each time that He prayed. But we have just one little phrase that He prayed. And that is, the Bible says He prayed, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, not my will, but as Thou wilt. In other words, Jesus in His humanity, ladies and gentlemen, that is in the agony that He was going through, and Luke tells us He began to sweat great drops of blood. That is in the agony, Jesus cried out, if it's possible, let this cup, this suffering pass from me, but not my will, thine be done. It was right there alone with the Father in prayer that we see our Lord's submissiveness to the divine will. Now He set a good example for us, didn't He? He sure did. And that is of getting alone with God, ladies and gentlemen. Getting alone with God and getting our will surrendered to Him. That is getting alone with Him and say, God, this is everything I want. But if it's not what You want, then Your will, not mine, be done. You see, if you and I are going to get our will surrendered to His will, that we've got to deal with our prayer life. We've got to deal with our praying. We've got to learn how to pray. If you're just saying prayers, but you're not getting surrendered to the will of God in prayer, then you haven't entered in yet into the realm of prayer that God wants you to experience as His child. He wants you to get surrendered to Him in prayer. Your will surrendered to His will. So if we're going to get surrendered to the will of God, one of the things that we've got to deal with is our praying. Now, there's some other things we've got to deal with. Another thing we've got to deal with is our position. If we're going to get our will surrendered to His will, then we've got to deal with our position. You say, Pastor, I don't understand what you mean. I'm talking about accepting our position. That is where God is, the position that God has placed us in. Accepting our position under the authority that He has placed us. For example, whenever Paul was writing in Ephesians chapter number 6, he was writing about relationships. And in relationship to other people, God has positioned us in relationship. And the God who has positioned us expects us to surrender our will to His will. For example, in this passage, he writes to the wives and he says, "Wives, submit yourselves," Ephesians 5:22. He said, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." He's positioned wives under the headship of their husbands. If you want to be obedient to the will of God, then you've got to learn to be submissive to your husband, or you're in all-out rebellion against God. Not only that, but he also tells us here that husbands are to love their wives. As Christ loved the church, the Bible says, and gave himself for it. And so the Bible tells us that husbands are to love their wives and care for their wives. And if we as husbands are going to be in the center of God's will, then we need to take our position in the home and in our relationship and love our wives and care for our wives. And then he goes on and he writes as well about the children in chapter number 6. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And that is a position that God has placed children in, is under the headship, under the authority of their parents. That's their position in life. And if you and I are going to surrender our will to God's will, then listen, we got to learn to be submissive to those who are in authority over us in the home. Rebellion against authority is rebellion against the will of God. And those who are going to be submissive to the will of God, listen to me now, have got to learn to be submissive to the authority that God has placed over us. And we see this especially in Ephesians 6 and verse number 5. After dealing with the relationships of family, then he deals with the relationships of the slave and master. And the wording of it indicates that this is connected to the will of God. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 5, servants. That is, in the households in this time period, there not only were husbands and wives and children, but there were servants. And the word to servants is this: be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as unto Christ. Servants, you need to be obedient to your masters, and you need to do it for one reason, in singleness of heart, with one motive, and that is as though you were doing it to the Lord. Not with eye service, as men pleasers. In other words, don't be obedient to your masters just while they're looking, right? And that is, don't be doing it just when they're watching, with eye service like men pleasers. When they're watching, you're obedient, but when they turn their back, you're not. No, don't be them. But he says, listen, you be obedient as the servants of Christ, and here's our phrase, as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. In other words, servants, listen, you may want something else, but God has positioned you where you are. You need to accept your position and submit yourselves to those who are over you. Hey, listen, you may not like the fact that you're the wife, or you may not like the fact that you're the husband, but if that's where God has positioned you, then surrendering my will to His will means submitting to that, to the position that God has placed me in, where I am. Hey, you may not like everything that goes on at your workplace, but listen to me now. If you want to be in the center of the will of God, accepting your position. Hey, listen, you're not the CEO. You say, "Well, Pastor, I could do a whole lot better job than they can," but that's not where God put you. And so submitting to the will of God is accepting the truth about where you are in your position in life, where God has put you. You may wish you were somewhere else, but listen to me, that's not about what you want. It's about what God wants. It's about God's will, and that's where He's put you, and you need to accept the place that He's put you in. Now, the reason why I have to say that is because we're living in a time and a society that is in all-out rebellion against our position in life. Rebelling against the Creator's position that He's placed us in. And that is men that are rebelling against their gender, and women doing the same as well, and perverting the idea of gender itself, as though somehow, ladies and gentlemen, that we can change what it is that God has created us to be. There's rebellion against the Creator. And there's rebellion, ladies and gentlemen, in our society. And that is, if you want to be in the will of God for your life, you say, "Pastor, I'm my will to be surrendered to His will," then you got to deal with your praying, and then you've got to deal with your position. Look at where God puts you and accept that. Surrender your will to His will. This is where He has placed you. You need to accept that as His will. Listen to what Peter was writing in 1 Peter chapter number 2. He gave us this same kind of truth. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13, he said, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake." That is, whenever there are laws that are passed or ordinances that are passed, you be submissive to them and do it for the glory of God. Hey, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by God for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. He said, listen, whether it be your, if you're under in a monarchy, submit yourselves to the king. If it's the governors, those who rule over you, you need to be submissive to them. And he said, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That is, the will of God is for you to be honest. The will of God is for you to be submissive. It is not the will of God for you to be rebelling against the authority that is placed over you. Are y'all still with me? You say, "Pastor, I wish that we had something different in the area of our government." Well, I'm sure you do, but we got exactly what the will of God has allowed us to have. So you and I need to be submissive and obedient and prayerful for those who are in authority. Those who are, listen, these folks are living under the tyranny of the Roman Empire, and he's saying to them to be submissive and obedient. Don't be a rebel. Don't be rebelling against authority. God is working out His will, His plan. You may want something different, but it may not be the will of God. So you need to submit your will to His will and accept your position under the authority of the home and under the authority you have in society. I'm talking to you about how to get your will surrendered to His will. Well, we've got to deal with our praying. We've got to deal with our position. We've even got to deal with our preferences. Well, this is tough, isn't it? I got to deal with my preferences. Now listen, all of us have them. That is, those things that we prefer, that we like, and that we want. But if you're going to get your will surrendered to His will, you're going to have to get your preferences laid on the altar. And when you get your preferences laid on the altar, you're going to find out that you're not going to get what you prefer. And if you're going to get your will surrendered to His will, then you're going to have to be glad that you're not getting what you prefer. Now, some of you, that's going to be a little bit hard. And that is, if you don't get what you want, then you act like a two-year-old and you throw a little fit. You get mad, and when you get mad, then that brings all the attention back to you once again, and you like that. If anger is what gets you attention, then you'll get angry. You act like a two-year-old. It's the way little kids act, and they have to be straightened out. Some of them never grew out of it because they never got straightened out. And there are a lot of adults act the same way, and that is, this is what I want. This is what I want. But listen to me now. If what you prefer is not what God wants, then you've got to abandon your preference. You've got to leave it on the altar and let go of it and surrender to His will. We have an example of this in the Bible in Acts 21. Listen to what the Bible says. You've heard this story before. In Acts chapter number 21, the Bible says in verse number 10, "We tarried there many days." That is, Paul and his ministry team, they were in the company of an evangelist, Philip the evangelist, in his home. He said, "We tarried there many days, and there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound him with his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." So here they are now, Paul and his missionary team, and they're staying in the home of Philip the evangelist. And there is this prophet of God that comes from Judea, probably from Jerusalem. And he takes Paul's girdle, his leather belt that they would wear commonly in that day. And he binds up his hands. He takes Paul's girdle or Paul's belt, and he ties up his hands and his feet with it. That is, the prophet does. And he said, this is what's going to happen in Jerusalem to the man that owns this belt. It was a prophecy from God. And of course, Paul was the owner of it. That is, he was the one who owned the belt of the girdle. And so the prophecy is that when Paul gets to Jerusalem, he's going to be arrested. He's going to be arrested by and delivered over to the Gentiles, arrested by the Jews, and then handed over to the Gentiles. He's going to be arrested when he gets there. Now, the Bible says in verse number 12, when we heard these things, that is, Luke tells us as a part of the missionary team, he says, when we heard these things, both we and they of that place, that is, Luke and the missionary team, and also Philip, the evangelist, and the others who lived in that home, when we heard this, we besought him not to go to Jerusalem. That is, we begged Paul, don't go, don't go, don't go. Don't go. If you go to Jerusalem, God has just revealed through his prophet, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to get arrested. You're going to get handed over to the Gentiles under arrest. Don't go, please don't go, please don't. Hey, that's their preference. Their preference is that Paul not go to Jerusalem and that he so that he will not get arrested. That is, we don't want to see that happen to you. We don't want you to go through that. Paul, we don't want you to go through that experience. That is their preference. But Paul answered and said this in verse 13, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? That is, they're throwing one of those little fits, aren't they? They're crying. They're throwing the little tantrum. Please don't go. Please don't. They're crying. Please don't go. He said, why are you doing that? Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? He says, I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. He said, why are you saying that? He says, I'm willing to go to Jerusalem and be bound, not only that, but to die for the Lord's sake. Why are you saying that? Why are you preferring for me not to go? They had their preference, didn't they? Paul said, I'm going. Even if I get arrested or even lose my life, I'm going to Jerusalem. But their preference is that he not do it. He said, I'm going. Somehow the apostle knew it was the will of God for him to go. The will of God for him to go. They didn't want him to. And so notice that verse 14, and when he would not be persuaded, they begged, they cried. They didn't want him to go. But Paul knew he had to go. And they said, "When we couldn't persuade him, so we stopped, we ceased." And you know what they said? The will of the Lord be done. That's right. They didn't want him to go because they didn't want him to get arrested. And you see this conflict, don't you, between their preference and the prophecy. Here's the prophecy. Jerusalem, bound. Going to be bound in Jerusalem. Here's their preference. No, we don't want that to happen. And there's the conflict between the two. And finally, they got to the right place, didn't they? They got to the place, they said, you know what? The will of the Lord be done. And they had to lay their preference on the altar. What they wanted. And they had to give it up, surrender it to the will of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to do the same thing. And that is, if we're going to get surrendered to the will of God, we don't have, not only have to deal with our praying, we not only have to deal with our position to accept the position God has given us, but also we got to deal with our preferences. That is what it is that we would like to see happen, or what it is that we don't want to see happen. And we've got to get all of our preference laid there on the altar and say, God, here it is. Here's all of my preferences and all of my wants. And I abandon them. I just lay them on the altar. I'm going to give them all to you. Surrender them to your will, and your purpose for my life. Laying it before him. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever gotten to that point of surrender? Surrendering your will to his. That point that you can really say, oh, not just out of frustration, not just out of just not being able to get anything, get anywhere, but I mean, you can really say, the will, Lord, I want your will to be done. Even if it's not what I prefer. Even if it's not what I prefer, then I lay my preferences aside. And I accept your will. And I want to follow your will and know something about your purpose and your plan. What I'm trying to get you to see is how to surrender your will to his will. If you're going to do that, you're going to have to deal with your praying. You're going to have to deal with your position. Quit trying to be somewhere or somebody that you aren't. And surrender to the position God's given you. And you're going to have to deal with your preferences. Now, there's a lot more I have to say. I'll have to do it another time. But you've got to get all this on the altar. And get it surrendered to him. Not going to get what you want. Because it may not line up with his will. Surrendering your preferences to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and what you're saying to us. Father, I pray that you'd operate upon our hearts, that you would deal with our lives, that you'll speak clearly to us, that God, you'll work in us in such a way that we can get everything surrendered to you. God, that we wouldn't hold anything back from you. God, I pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord, even during this service, during this time, to be able to abandon ourselves, our preferences, our wants, our desires, to lay our souls bare before you, empty of ourself and all of our preferences, and only listening to your will, to learn how to pray according to it. Father, thank you for what you're about to do. Lord, we surrender ourselves to you. We pray for your help and your direction. Bless this moment that we have. Save those who are lost. And God, I pray that you'll, Lord, help your people. Help us, God, to get completely sold out, abandoned, surrendered to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together.